All right, big day here in the crypto and NFT streets. We have FTX going belly up, getting acquired by Binance. We have DraftKings 1500 PFP project, the trolls revealing today, all kinds of big stuff going on in the world of crypto and NFTs. And our dear friend, the honeybee, Adam Levitan, will be swinging by to talk about his big Rainmakers pack min cash, all today on CTS. Look at this, Peter Jennings. Do you want to introduce yourself to people
children
who are familiar with you? We got Gracie.
Gracie hasn't been in the club in a long time, so I just wanted to let her say, you say hi.
Hi.
Good job.
Oh, hi, Gracie. Gracie.
You do a kiss to the crowd. You do a kiss to the crowd. There you go. Okay. You say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
Okay, bye-bye. Good job. Love you.
Pass the prop.
I mean, it is crazy that someday we're going to be able to put together a montage of Gracie growing up on this show, starting with you literally in the delivery room. I mean, that's
exactly right. That's why I had to get her down here. Yep. Bye bye.
What have you been up to, Peter? I feel like it's been a while since we've chopped it up with you.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be here. Super busy fall, trying to do all the sports stuff, busy with Lucky Trader. It's exciting. It's also painful just watching the net worth go straight down every day, but a lot of the same stuff. Pickleball has been awesome. Levitan and I played a best of three games the other day. I won the first game and then he skunked me the last game when we played the seven. So that was soul crushing. Been hooping. Yeah, kind of the same stuff.
So you tell me that Levitan's pushing the anti-pickleball agenda with me out in public, but behind closed doors, he's actually a pickleball maxi?
He's not a pickleball maxi. He only plays because other people won't play him in tennis. He's still firmly in the tennis over pickleball camp, but yeah, he likes it. He likes singles.
Andy, still in Connecticut. It sounded like you were making progress. So you were in the city today?
Yeah, so we went and did our walkthrough today, finally, and it was actually, like, in the appropriate conditions to do a walkthrough. So that felt good. And then I had some dinner, and here we are back in Connecticut. It seems like we'll probably still be here, though, through Thanksgiving, maybe even a little bit after that, because now they have to go. Like, it was conditions for a walkthrough, but there was also a lot of shit that was bad. So a lot to fix. There's like a light at the end of the tunnel for the most part.
That's good to hear. And you didn't have your net worth nuked in a way that you now need to sell the apartment that you're just getting ready to move into.
No, thankfully not yet. I mean, one more $30 billion company going under and getting acquired and it might be the case. But for this one, I was able to hold through.
Jack, fresh off of your trip to New Orleans, saw you were eating beignets, what, less than 12 hours ago?
Yes. Phoenix to Dallas to New Orleans to New York. Germany, Friday for the game for Underdog, Bucks, Seahawks. And then we land in Philly on Monday. We land in New York Monday at 2. We take a train down to Philly for the game. So a little bit of travel right now.
I'm getting exhausted. I would be dead if I did that.
I mean, Casey was down for the count last week. He made it to New Orleans. I've been going through some. I've made it, but definitely been up and down in the health department. But we're pushing through, you know. And look, everyone's like, it's crazy how much you're traveling. But like, Kirk Herbstreit's doing the, and I know he's flying a little more private than I am, but. They fly all over, so I gotta man up and make it through.
There you go. If Kirk Herbstreit can do it, Jack can do it. Let's get right into it, Pete. What are your thoughts on the state of the market today? All this stuff with FTX, how big is it, or how bad is it for the macro crypto stuff?
It's pretty bad. That's for sure. The macro just continues to broadly get worse. I think we're definitely heading towards a double dip, full on recession. And with risk, you know, with interest rates where they are, it's really going to hurt risk on assets. And any hope that crypto had of not being like far, far out on the risk curve just keeps getting annihilated. So short term, this is horrific. You know, I was hoping that, you know, people would start to say, hey, all this crazy monetary and fiscal policy, which, you know, was needed to a degree with the pandemic. You don't want the world to just stop. But, you know, everything that we've seen has kind of gotten us into this like really persistent inflation spot. And I think that's a really compelling story for Bitcoin. And I still think that there is a really compelling story for Bitcoin. But with all these miners going bust, now FTX, what everything that happened with Luna, like the average person just thinks crypto is a total scam right now. And it's going to be really hard for there to be a bid. And I'm optimistic long-term. I think there's still a lot of good people building things, but yeah, this is about as bad as it gets. I mean, SBF and FTX were super public, had all the celebrity endorsers, and now, you know, we're in a bad spot. And I don't know how likely this merger is to get done. That's kind of what I'm most interested to hear Andy's perspective overall, but also just like pricing the likelihood that something actually comes to fruition. They clearly have assets with customer balances and everything else, but I don't know. There's a lot of complexity trying to you know, make an acquisition like FTX happen. So Andy, I'll kick it to you. What's your overall view, and how likely is a merger to actually happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I've been like in a lot of chats with people who used to work at FTX. Some people in the chats who have not been very active lately, whether they were investors and stuff because of the craziness. It's really hard to say. I think the general consensus that I've seen both on Twitter proper and then also behind closed doors in conversations is that it doesn't, like, basically, if in the like grand scheme of things, Binance was like so fucking big that they probably are better off just like letting FTX keep going and doing whatever they're doing than like killing FTX and killing all the customer deposits and also like completely ruining the reputation of crypto for the next however many years. And so essentially, like, even if it is a net cash negative for Binance right now to buy FTX, it like is long-term positive because it's like, you don't want to be the king of like a burned down city that's worthless. You want to like basically prop up the rest of everything that's still going on.
Yeah. And what is your guys, as far as the, because they, we had what, SFB and CZ were like legit beefing on Twitter as of like 36 hours ago. And then, you know, 12 hours later, they're acquiring FTX. Like, do you think their incentives are just lined from a macro standpoint where they're like, you know, Binance is obviously heavily invested in crypto succeeding and them kind of coming in here as a stopgap, just preventing everything from really spiraling? I mean, that has to be part of it, right?
Sorry, I realized I had a VPN on because I was on the internet. It wasn't looking good. So I just turned it off. So I missed like half of what you said there,
Pete. No, you're better. I'm just wondering, like, what do you think Binance's play is here? Because they were like legit feuding with SFB just like even a couple days ago.
So for like a further step back, I don't know how much people are like totally aware, but like, I think CZ is maybe outside of Putin, the wealthiest person in the world. Binance itself. So FTX raised at a $32 billion valuation. Binance does over 10x the volume of FTX. So if you just like, you know, do some basic math there, Binance is worth a lot of money. CZ owns almost all of it. If not, like, he owns a lot of it. I said something today on Twitter of like, he's going to be the first trillionaire. And there were people who were like, not kidding, who DM me, who's like, we're not totally sure that he's not, like, we don't know for a fact that he isn't already. And so there's like, to a certain extent, just like, don't fuck with him. Like, why would you tweet anything in any way negative about him when he, like, when he is who he is? And he generally has been like pretty non-adversarial. Like, he'll talk shit on, he had a period of time years ago where he would like talk shit on Twitter sometimes. I think he realized, like, why am I wasting my time doing this? I think that they realized that they could do it and then like didn't really like Sam. And their relationship in general is like long, and they were the first investor in FTX. FTX kind of like started off as like a, almost like a labs team inside of Binance. And like the process of eventually when they were like divested from the team and stuff, as they realized they were competitors, I don't think they've had a very good relationship. And I think Sam just may have gotten a little bit too much hubris. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I don't really know what happened, honestly. Like, the Sam's interactions on social media over the last like month have just been weird in general, and like felt different. I don't know if it's the Adderall shortage or what, but he's just been weird in general on Twitter, and I guess did something that really pissed Binance off, and they were like, all right, fuck it. There's a chink in the armor here. Let's do something about it.
Real quick, because I would push back on CZ being a trillionaire, just given the whole crypto market cap right now is under $1 trillion, like all of the tokens. I mean, obviously there's certain things that aren't included in that, but broadly, right? Like,
if you just he's probably not actually a trillionaire, but there's like a world where he could be. Like,
if he invested well,
if he like timed everything perfectly, I think that probably his equity in Binance makes him one of the five richest people in the world alone. And then, like, you know, however much money he has made personally outside of that, which probably is a lot. It's definitely a lot of money. But yeah, no, he's probably not a trillionaire.
And sorry, that's a small detail, but I agree. Why would you screw with him? And yeah, SBF's probably been acting a little weird knowing that there's some vulnerability. I mean, the way things have gone, I don't know. A lot of people have been talking about, not a lot, but certain people have been starting to hint at some vulnerabilities. Obviously, all the political stuff people are up in arms about. And, you know, then the king comes at you. I mean, that's, CZ's the real king, right? Like, that's not good. And to your point, I think the sharpest point broadly is CZ doesn't want to be the king of, you know, a burnt down castle, does he?
Can you guys
explain? Yeah, there's just no value in that for him.
For people who don't know, and I've been reading up on this today, and I still don't fully understand like what happened at FTX behind closed doors, like how they ended up in this spot. You're just supposed to think these exchanges are basically printing money. They had the trust of so many people, as Pete was mentioning, with their celebrity endorsements and all of this. Like, what were the mechanics of how they got to this spot today?
Yeah, so for the most part, it is, anything that I say after this, it is generally speculation. The dust has not settled on this. There's no like statements or really anything super official. So take everything that I'm saying with a grain of salt, but this is mostly like theoretically what happened. But essentially what I've seen most recently is that, so SBF, alongside having FTX, also has Alameda, which is the trading firm. And there's theories that they actually from the Terra Luna collapse had like a pretty large hole in their books. They had like some pretty bad debt that they basically were borrowing against FTT, which is the FTX token, to cover. And so I don't totally know, like, then there's more theoretically that like basically they still needed more cash, and so they borrowed cash from FTX, and that some amount of that was user funds or you know, just made a bunch of user funds illiquid in a way that was obviously not good. And then basically all to like cover up Alameda going bust when Terra Luna went bust. And then eventually it like got leaked like a week ago, like what their balance sheet was and what all their liabilities were. And probably if I had to guess, Binance and CZ knew about that beforehand. I doubt that was like news to them. But if I probably this was a much larger long-term play that played out, and we just only saw a piece of it. But essentially, the majority of Alameda's borrow or like position was levered against FTT, which is an incredibly illiquid token that is the exchange token for FTX. And then CZ, the CEO of Binance, who had about $500 million worth of FTT that he got when he was divested, or Binance got when they were divested from FTX, tweeted out, "We're selling all of our FTT. We don't want it anymore." He, you know, tweeted some reasons why, whatever, liability, not how they want to do things. And basically like kind of just like squeezed Alameda, and Alameda was trying to buy and they were propping up the price for a long time. Like you can kind of just like look at the chart of FTX or FTT and see like they were propping up the price at $22 because like, or someone was, whether it was them or not. And like clearly someone wanted to keep it above that price theoretically because of liquidation prices for other loans or different things. And then they just ran out of dry powder or gave up and stopped providing liquidity, and the price nuked. And you can see now it's like $4 or something. And so it dropped from like 28, 27 bucks to $4 over the course of like 2 days. And so then theoretically, like their position blew up, and some amount of that was funds that were borrowed from users, and all these users started panicking, pulling out their money. And then FTX did not have enough liquid cash to cover the hole that was in their books now. And so then Binance came in and said, "Hey, you don't have enough cash. We have enough cash. We'll buy you and we'll handle all the user withdrawals."
Yeah. And Pete, what did you think? Because one of the other things in this lead up that, you know, SBF was in the news for was being kind of the poster boy for legislation and all of this. Ian in the chat saying Binance noticed this and SBF is basically the enemy of all crypto right now due to the amount of legislation he's pushing for. Do you think that's tied into this at all from CZ's perspective?
Absolutely. I mean, he tweeted about it. I don't know. I can pull back up some of the tweets to get exactly what he said, but no secret that FTX was lobbying against Binance and others. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people got upset. And I think a lot of the virtue signaling, you know, is coming back to look pretty bad. And listen, I thought SBF, I had so much respect for him. I know, Andy, we've talked about it. Obviously an incredibly bright person. Every time I've heard him talk, I've been really impressed. Heard some of the same stories from like Sequoia and others where it's just like, he's the most impressive person. That's why we want to invest in them. Like he's doing like interviews while trading crypto and like just all these amazing, like savant like stories. But there was a lot of virtue. Like, I'm going to give away more money than anyone else. Talked about doing $1 billion in political spend for the 2024 election, and clearly was heavily involved in lobbying, obviously with FTX and his own interest in mind. And I think that's where a lot of people got frustrated. But again, there's people who are deeper in this that understand it better than me, but that's, I think, was the crux of it. And then, yeah, it's so ridiculous. Like, I think one of the big lessons that we can learn that happens in kind of a lot of different markets, but is amplified in crypto and is just really quick with the 24/7 nature, is people take bad assets, borrow against it, and then they get crushed. And in crypto, it's like even worse because you can take an asset that you created, their token, borrow against it. Now say your company's worth more. Now your token goes up more. Now you can borrow more against that same token that you're already borrowing against. And, you know, you can manipulate the price in a big way as well. I don't know if this is true, but I saw somewhere that like FTX had like 99% or 95 to 99% of the supply of FTT. Maybe that's wrong, but I read that somewhere. And so it's like they own a huge percentage of the token. There's zero sell pressure from them. There's a super small amount of float on the overall thing. And they basically inflated the price with all these different, you know, loans and kind of the perception of FTX, especially when they announced they're looking to raise, you know, at a $32 billion valuation in September. So there's just a ton of crap out there. And I don't know, maybe I'm being too harsh, but it's a really, really bad day for crypto in my mind. FTX probably had as good a brand recognition as basically any company in the space. I mean, Coinbase, Binance, I guess Bitcoin as like its own entity, Ethereum, Vitalik, like it's on the Mount Rushmore basically of like brands for, or just things that people look to and like respect in crypto. And now it's tarnished.
And you think about like, you know, remember the first with the major Bitcoin bull run, and it was everyone at Thanksgiving dinner talking about it. I mean, the closest thing to getting crypto back on your uncle's radar was fucking Tom Brady, you know, being the poster boy for like FTX, and that like normalized crypto. That was like the thesis of that brand play to make it less scary. And now you have what Tom Brady was the face of getting rugged out from under you. Like, I don't know how you build up the trust with the normies after something like this goes by. I mean, that's going to take so long to build up anything other than them thinking crypto is a full-on scam in their mind.
Like, what's Tom Brady going to come out and say? Like, what's Bill Clinton going to come out and say? You know, like, there's all these high-profile people that are associated with the brand. Hell, the Miami Heat arena is the FTX arena. Like, and now, I mean, it's bad. Like, and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that I think is really, really bad about today. The feds got embarrassed by what happened to U.S. citizens with Terra Luna, and they're licking their chops right now, waiting to come in and investigate this fraud. And who knows how much bad stuff's going to come out. Very clear to me that they were just leveraging off their own token. So we'll see how bad it actually is, but we are in for a lot of pain, I think, in the short term for crypto.
So, Andy, do you think SBF, was he greedy? Was he just thinking he was in God mode and could do no wrong? Like, what was this, pure fraud? Like, how do you think you categorize this downfall?
I really don't know. I think it's so interesting. Like, I even just retweeted a tweet where FTX, the like main FTX account, literally tweeted on the 7th, like, we are the most one of the most profitable companies per employee in the world. Like, totally crazy. So I don't know if it was just like miscommunication, like people just didn't know this shit was like as bad as it really was. Like, maybe he was lied to by Alameda. But I just have to imagine that he was incredibly, like, he's too smart to have this have been like the wool was pulled over his eyes by other employees in the company or something. And so I don't know if it was just hubris and he thought that he could figure out something or some way out of the hole or what, but I don't know. Crazy.
Pete, what was this video you sent me? Should I pull this up, this T-Money?
I think so. And just full, I'm a huge fan of Nick. I think he's one of the sharpest people. Full, you know, disclosure, I invested in his first crypto fund. They were the first investors, the seed investors in OpenSea and a variety of other things. He warned me about Luna. I didn't fully appreciate his advice. And he was the first person I actually heard say anything negative about Sam and FTX. And I think this video is actually spot on. Maybe a slight victory lap by him. He's not an arrogant person. I've spent a lot of time with him. But I do think the message, especially towards the end, is quite relevant.
Entertaining timeline this morning, huh? Okay. So the big question is, why was no one calling out FTX's bullshit? They were the biggest media darlings for the past year, 2 years. And, you know, everyone was saying, oh, SPF is such a good executor and FTX is such a great company. They've got, you know, Tom Brady Super Bowl ads, and they've got Miami Heat Arena, and they've got Bill Clinton at their conference. And it was all bullshit. You know, anyone paying attention knew that SPF and this team, you know, they didn't really understand crypto. They were greedy traders who came in a bull market and were able to, you know, create shit tokens out of thin air, list them on their exchange. Well, first buy them early, list them on their exchange, dump them. And they kind of bootstrapped this big brand and big mirage, really. And, you know, looped big name people in. They get Sequoia and, you know, all these people get sucked into this mirage. And the truth is FTX was never a crypto company. They never really understood crypto or were, you know, in this for any, you know, meaningful reason other than making a quick buck. And crypto is a great way for people to make money, but it's got to be long-term. You got to be long-term minded. And if you're not, you're going to get flushed out. And that's what's happening. And the media is likely going to write about how, you know, this is a big blow to crypto. And, you know, it's a short-term setback, sure, but FTX was never a crypto company. And so it's really not a big blow. The truth is, the quicker that this happens and these guys get fleshed out, the better.
He's a big hater.
What's the Sequoia angle? Like, they funded FTX?
I just assume that was what was behind him in this Land's End ad he was shooting here.
No, gotcha.
Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, Sequoia's in, I believe they invested in the previous round. I don't know how far back they invested in FTX, but.
Yeah, they invested in September. There's like articles from them in like September talking about how he's a visionary and all this stuff.
Yeah. What kind of sentiment, Andy? I saw you just retweeting some people who are pretty spooked. Is your boots on the ground? Is people are extremely nervous about this?
Yeah, I think this is like one of those times where, like with the Terra Luna thing and Three Arrows Capital, with both of those collapses, it was like, obviously it was bad. And I mean, like the Luna collapse was way worse than this. Financials wise, way worse. People lost, the general public in retail lost significantly more money on that than this. Like, it's not even close. But I think I've been having to spend more time talking to and thinking about regulatory things over the last few months than I have prior, just because it's become significantly more top of mind for regulators and talking to lawyers and all that shit. And this, it's already like a feeling like a bit of an uphill battle lately. And this is just like really, really, really not going to help, because I think while the Terra Luna stuff was really bad from a financial perspective, this one is really, really bad from a marketing public perception perspective, like Pete was saying. Just everyone knows about FTX because they've made themselves so publicly in everyone's face. And so, one, everyone's going to think it's a joke, which honestly would be for the best. I think the best thing that could possibly happen is everyone's just like, wow, crypto is fucking stupid. All these idiots were spending all this money on stuff and now they're all broke. Idiots. All right. See ya. This is dumb. That'd be like the best thing that could possibly happen for the industry, honestly. It's just people think it's a joke. But I think more likely it just is more ammo for regulators. Like, what this is going to end up doing is regulators are going to try to continue to crack down on like DeFi and all these things that were legitimately not affected and like are actually able to like not have these things happen, because that's kind of how things go. And so thankfully there's a lot of good companies out there who will kind of fight that good fight, but it's just going to be a lot, you know. It doesn't make anything easier. I think that's really the part that's challenging. I'm certainly not as, you know, March 2020 was scarier than this in a lot of ways, but it's just not good.
Earlier today, Up Only was able to get Duquan to come on their stream. We were able to get the Elastic Honeybee to come on our stream live. Adam, we're getting everyone's reaction on the FTX Binance drama. I know you just have a boiling hot take on this.
Yeah, I've been following this so closely, as you guys know.
You have been. You weren't even at the gym today because you were watching your the money go away.
That's not why. I mean, these guys are playing fucking pickleball. Meanwhile, we're all going to fucking zero. I'm like, guys, they're like, oh, you coming to play pickleball? No, I'm not coming to fucking play pickleball. I'm watching King BNB, King CZ take over the world. What an alpha move. I mean, you know, no, I don't actually know what I'm talking about, but yeah, seems quite bad.
Can someone clip that and just for all use cases?
Yeah, but you're talking this anti-pickleball game, and then Jennings is telling us before the show that you're here playing doubles with him every day like it's your life's mission.
Buddy, you know, I'm looking for tennis matches. You know, it's either somebody's too good for me or they all are not good enough. I can't find someone on the right level. So then we started playing pickleball, and like, as you can see, when an 80-year-old can play against 20-year-olds in a game, then you know that we can find a good match. So yeah, I mean, me and Peter have had some good matches. I can actually play against Bass with a 9-0 deficit to start, but nevertheless, you know, it's a fine game. It's like golf. I'll play more when I'm, you know, old.
Are you guys getting action down on these pickleball games?
He likes pickle. Don't let him say he doesn't.
Yeah. Are we getting action? I don't do anything without action. Number one. Number two, yeah, no, I think pickleball's singles is good. Like, I don't even like to play doubles tennis, let alone doubles pickleball. These guys playing doubles pickleball, you can call me a hardo if you want. I'd actually like, I don't know what I'd rather do than probably like, look up
get
some
a vasectomy
new,
or something.
Look, I was gonna say like, buy some new profile pictures of like hairy horses or something like that. That's what I'd rather do than play doubles pickleball.
Oh my goodness. So Adam, part of the reason we had to get you back in here in the mix, I mean, I feel like it's tradition about every 6 months there's something new going on in the NFT or crypto space that really chaps your ass. And I saw you ended up having what happened to me 2 weeks ago where you accidentally won a Rainmakers pack as part of your DFS play.
So they added these prizes, right? So like I was gonna come down really hard on DraftKings and fucking go ham on Twitter, but they added the prizes. So, you know, no harm, no foul, right?
That's
right
not there? The case. That's not the case for the SPY. They literally cut out some of the min caches to put in the packs. It was at the expense of the typical prize.
Oh, board. No. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. That is not acceptable. That is absolutely unacceptable. I don't even know what contest I won this ticket in. I honestly don't. Like, I was just out there blasting, and I guess I min cashed something, and a ticket showed up. You know, I obviously have zero interest whatsoever, especially after our Top Shot debacle, in which I was like, guys, maybe we should hit the sell button here. Maybe we should think about for once in our fucking life hitting the sell button when we hear like, oh, Bales is like, oh, we can get $1 million for the LeBron Cosmic. I was like, well, maybe we should hit the fucking sell button then, bro. No. We're not gonna hit the fucking sell button. We're gonna ride it straight to the ground, and now somehow we're fucking stuck. We're stuck. I mean, it's incredible. So I have zero interest whatsoever in Rainmakers. I actually think it's like a complicated game. Nobody's been able to explain to me yet why it can't just be DFS. Why do I need Rainmakers? Why can't I just play DFS? Why do I need to be go on to quote-unquote Web3, which, by the way, Andy can probably tell me. I don't think this is actually Web3, but whatever. If this is Web3, why do we need this fucking bullshit? Why can't I just play DFS and fantasy like I've always done? Why do I need to buy something? And by the way, the people who win in Rainmakers, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, are the people that are going to spend the most, period. And that nothing is going to tilt recreational people more than that, period.
Jennings, you're practically on the Rainmakers payroll. What's your firing back at this?
I mean, that's Levitt, one of his worst takes. Yeah, Top Shot, everything else is right. Rainmakers is right up your alley, bud. Like, literally.
How? Why not just play DFS? Explain to me why I can't just play DFS.
It's a more skilled version of DFS.
More skilled or more money?
More skilled. Way more skilled. It's way more nuanced. That's the thing. It's a really complicated, hard game, but the alphas are just crushing. Right. Absolutely crushing. It's interesting because instead of just DFS week to week, you can actually take long-term positions. So you could have said, hey, just like best ball, I want to be long this guy and own their cards. And you like the ROI for the guys who are doing well, like Brandon Adams, Bales, it's an absolute utter print fest. Anyone who's not like super hardcore, I mean, Bales is spending literally all his time on this. I talked to him today, and he's like, He's like, yeah, I'm going to my brother's wedding, but I got to get back. So I got to make sure I manage all the Rainmaker stuff. Like you can like put in like blank cards and then swap. And like, it's extremely complicated. If you're playing it at a high level, and there's a lot of money. I mean, guys are making, the top guys are going to make mid to high six figures, maybe even seven figures.
What was the min investment though to be playing in that big boy sandbox?
Yeah, like $300-400 grand, which Levitan's got easy. So this would have been perfect for him. Meanwhile, he's grinding.
Not anymore. Not anymore, buddy. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It's way like I being totally serious, Levitan, you would have absolutely crushed this game. It probably would have come at a huge opportunity cost given how much you have on your plate, but I do think basically it's just like way more skillful than traditional DFS.
Yeah.
So
I get it. And actually I thought like the most interesting part of it was like, because Kalish and DraftKings have like such a fucking full boner for this. I was like, oh, there's no way they're going to let this fail. To me, that was like the biggest argument for it.
Yeah. And they haven't. Rainmakers. They've yeah. 30 million guaranteed in prizes, which everyone did the estimates off of. And then they've given away punks, apes, other prizes. I mean, it'll probably end up being $35, $40 million in prizes this year. And then who knows what happens going forward. But yeah.
All right. So hold on. Take a step back. I actually don't really know how Rainmakers works. What's like the, I know that there's these fucking NFTs and it's like kind of like so rare. I have not taken the time to look into it. How does it actually work?
So you play cards in a lineup and there's requirements for cards and there's a ton of nuances. Like the best players are superstars. You can only play one superstar in a lineup. You have to have certain, there's like five different tiers starting at legendary, elite, rare, et cetera. And you have to play cards from certain tiers and certain contests, but basically you have a 5-person roster and you can enter contests with real money. So each week there's at least $1 million in guaranteed prizes and you enter those cards.
And you and it's paid entry for the contest? The
cards you have to pay for. So the cards have like an objective value. It's okay. Not a collectible. I mean, that DraftKings, I think, hopes that people will view it as a collectible, and there actually are some people who do. But if you just look at it strictly from, you know, an EV of the cash payouts, no future value, you can kind of determine what each card is worth. Because there's a fixed amount of cards per tier. So like a Rainmaker, just Josh Allen, Bales bought one like 2 weeks in an auction for like 18,000. And he won 60 grand the next week when Josh Allen had a huge game.
So would you say based on like the complexity and the barrier of entry that their target demo for this was the whales? Because if it needs that much of a time investment and that monetary investment, like how are you onboarding new people like, you know, dolts like me who are getting an elevator rare pack from in cashing the spy? Like it seems like a long way to go to get to that level.
Yeah. For the high end. And they would say it's not for that. And it is like, you can make like a simple lineup. You can put in core stuff or you can literally just like pick 5 cards and go play. But if you're trying to like actually grind, which all of us have a background in trying to grind out skill-based games. Yeah. The thesis is basically either go all in or don't.
Yeah, that's basically what I've done with the So Rare NBA. Is like, I was just like, all right, this is fun. I like it. I'm just gonna take this seriously and put some money into it. I think it sounds pretty similar, but I need to spend some time on it. My DraftKings account has been suspended for years because I fucked up my addresses, and so I haven't been too lazy to fix it.
Yeah, Adam, I know you have a strong take on this.
Well, I was just going to say real quick too, like if they want to like just add packs on and try to onboard as a marketing thing, I'm completely okay with that. Toss us some free packs. You pique my interest, but you're literally undercutting like the prize pool of some of your like flagship single entry contests. Like that's complete bullshit. And a lot of people are not even doing the math. Your fucking Roto Grinders overlay that shows the take on these, is it capturing the Rainmaker rake on that? Like that's shitty.
Well, how much is my pack worth?
$7 a pack is, it says the EV right here.
I'll sell it to you for $8.
Wait, what type of pack do you have? Because there's like, yeah, again, there's...
He has the Elevate Rare pack. I pulled a Mitch Trubisky Rare on this show last
week. That was amazing.
You only get one card in a pack?
There was 5. That was my Rare, was the Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. The tier really matters.
I'm like way too tilted to even like think about this right now. Someone buy the fucking pack. I don't even want to fucking deal with this.
No, you're opening it on screen. It.
There's a marketplace for you.
Wait, what are the trolls? What are the trolls?
Oh, no.
We're going to get to the trolls. Don't you worry. We got our friend Pump's going to be joining us a little bit to do a live reveal of his troll. So we're going to set up the trolls. Don't worry.
I got to talk to Andy about when it gets time, I have to talk to Andy about this.
But Adam, I think
I have not looked at this. Screen. I'll look at this right now.
You got to share your screen as we open your Rainmakers pack, Adam.
I don't even know how
Pump,
do,
Pump
how
says it's $94 for an Elevate rare. Yeah, pack. Exactly. I'll take it for $8. I'll take it for $8.
All right, give me $100. It's yours.
Well, the EV of those packs is 94 because it sounds like there's a couple in there that are worth $1,000 and the rest are worth $13, I think is how that EV calculates.
Was your Trubisky worth $13? I thought it was less than that.
I think someone said it was $4.
It's actually a really sick game. Like, I actually think what they did, it's really thoughtful, and it's like, it's a really, really smart, cool game. It's just like, to get to the level to like start playing it, it just takes time. Like, Bale's like, genuinely like loves it, thinks it's the coolest thing ever, thinks he knows more about the game than basically any other one in the world, and is like obsessed with the strategy and like game theory. And like, cause like, if you have, let's say you have like a legendary, which is the highest tier, like Josh Allen, for example, you have to think about which contest to put him in. Cause there's like winner take alls, there's tournaments with flatter payouts, there's like all these different things. And like, you have to think through the strategy of like where to use your cards. Yeah.
So is my pack valuable to Bales? I mean, Bales owes me at least 7 figures. He can give me a fucking $100 for this.
Buddy, Adam, he would probably buy it off of you.
Adam, the content equity of you ripping it is worth far more than anyone can get.
Look, all right, I'll share. I honestly don't even know what to do. I'll share my screen. Do you want me to share my screen?
It's easy. In the pack opening experience, that's the one thing Top Shot got right. And I think this is actually not the one. They got a lot right. But this is something I think that Rainmakers actually got right too.
I mean, Adam's a former DK pro over here. It doesn't know how to get to the Rainmaker packs on the site.
Look at him navigating.
I'm trying to get there. Hold on.
It looks like he's on a roller coaster.
All right. I'm here. Now what?
All right. Rainmakers. Top tab, Rainmakers.
Okay.
Oof. You got to redeposit. Yeah, you got to redeposit. Get on.
Go
level.
To my cards, I believe.
My cards. Okay.
And then packs.
Okay.
Then packs tab.
Packs.
Here it is, baby. Here it is.
So
was this from the spy, Adam, or was it from another contest?
I honestly have no idea. Didn't say.
It's probably from the Wildcat because I got a pack too. my pack was terrible.
So once I get these cards, am I going to have to like go on fucking Web3 and sell them somehow? Cause I don't fucking want them.
You have to go on Web3. You have to go.
It's like Top Shot. It's very
God, I am,
on
Web3. Already on tilt.
Let's set the tone.
You have the web.
Yo, what up? It's DJ Pete Overzat. Welcome to the club. We didn't think things were going to get popping tonight, but it's about to get lit. Behind door number 2, it's a 3-pointer. 1325, Kevin Durant. We're gonna get a LaMelo. We're gonna get a Luka. We're gonna get a LeBron. Victory reveal. Let's go. God damn it. I don't need another layup. To the window. To the wall. The De'Aaron Fox stripped down my ball. 293 assists. Everybody get their drinks. Let's get a cheers tonight before we open up these 9 packs. All right. Adam's ready to run through a wall after that.
You know, it's funny seeing your guys' faces as you open those packs, like you were actually excited, and now they're worth like $1.
I mean, we were excited. Yeah. You were opening hundreds of thousands of dollars of packs.
I had convinced myself I like basketball again. I mean,
I think one of the last times I was on here, maybe like 2 or 3 times ago, like I won a ton playing lot in like 3 or 4K, and people paid me in Top Shot moments. You know, it's like
lost money.
Of course.
Perfect.
All right, let's rip this bad boy.
Paid you in a Pascal Siakam follow.
So seriously, after I get these cards, like, what do I do?
You can sell them in the marketplace.
Yeah, I don't have time for that shit. That's my point. I honestly don't have time for that shit.
All right, why don't you see what you got? Why don't we rip it off?
Lucky Trader has a tool for this. Legitimately, it's actually not bad.
Can Lucky Trader sell it for me?
I'll be able to help you sell it.
Okay.
These have legitimate value. You're likely the range of outcomes is heavily weighted towards losing money here, but maybe you pull something good.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Now that's a selling point if I've ever heard one.
It's gambling.
There's no music?
There should be once you get to open.
Open pack.
God, look at Adam, just a poster boy for Web3 right now.
I mean, that's literally blasting off.
And by the way, I do want to say before this, like, I honestly don't want to rip on DraftKings. DraftKings 100% changed my life. Like, I don't want to rip on them. I'm so tilted by all this fucking Web3 nonsense. So, yeah.
I'm not really tilted because he invested in a crypto fund and he's just lost his mind.
Yeah, those guys are on my fucking hit list. God.
It's doubles pickleball players.
Those are worth very little.
So, and by the way, I'm joking about the Web3 stuff. Like, I do want to talk to Andy about like what's actually Web3 and all this bullshit. And I'm going to get to that when we get to the trolls. But anyways, all right. I'm ready.
Wait, you're already up. You're already up because you apparently got the elite, which is higher than the rare. So you're
rare last week. You got an elite.
I think you got the pack. I think that's the pack.
Okay.
All right.
Elites there's a 250K tournament every week with 100K to first in the elite tier. I play it every week. Wow.
Core first. Well,
$75 last week. Big dollars.
You continue to give the worst sales pitches, Pete.
Oh, there you go. Hey, right. New role.
Not new role on the bills. Gus Edwards.
That's dust. That's
it. Hamstring.
Oh, that's not dust. He'll be back.
You need a two down grinder. You're good. In full PPR.
The influencer pack, and I get the fucking Mitch Trubisky's.
Oh,
that's valuable.
Bales, I'm gonna need at least $1,000 for that one. Jared Goof.
Oh, now we're cooking. Yeah,
Jared Goof's cost me at least $1 million this year.
This is the card that actually matters. This could be worth $10 or $1,000.
All right.
$600, $700. Christian McCaffrey one time.
Let's go.
Oh, no.
That's a Mark Ingram for everyone listening at home.
Oh, that's not even worth anything on Showdown.
God,
power of Web3.
Yeah. I would say in this spot, I used to say like, when will it end? But over the last, like, I don't know, year or so, I realized that it will never end.
That's
so
I don't. Package. I mean, you got the Mahomes Corp thing, but that's literally the worst thing.
He's also hurt. Like, Mark Ingram's also out for like 4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you would have been more excited to pull a Dwayne Washington.
Right. Dwayne Washington at least plays.
So bad.
Okay, now what? How
Adam, you can just, you don't even have to worry about it.
Wait, yeah. So can I put, honestly, if I sell these in the marketplace, will it turn into my DraftKings balance? I don't want fucking or whatever.
It'll turn into. I got news for you though. Mark Ingram's not selling for anything. There's no one hitting the bid button on Mark Ingram. You could listen for $1.
Honestly, I asked Andy about this like 2 years ago. My fucking idiot friend owed me money, sent me WETH to my Trezor, and I cannot get it fucking off there.
WETH is the most boomer thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's so ridiculous. But anyway.
Adam, good news is you got a number 2 Mark Ingram. So the serial number actually great matters serial. For tiebreakers. So if you tie someone with Mark Ingram in their lineup, you got the edge there.
Okay.
Confirm for you, Adam, if you sell that, you do get your balance right there. Web3, Web2 handshake meme.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. That was so fun.
Let's see how much this Mahomes thing's worth.
A core Mahomes? I'm going to guess.
I can't imagine it's worth
$16.
Much, is that what it's worth?
That's
a huge hit for you.
That is big.
Here you go. Pump has it. Someone bought Mark Ingram today for $50. I would watch a 30 for 30 on someone who bought a Mark Ingram.
Elite. You think that was FTX trying to leverage out the last little bit they could? maybe if we pick a couple tournaments on DraftKings this week, we could pay out our user.
Mahomes is worth like $15 to $20, maybe $20.
Okay, perfect.
Congrats on the copy.
Someone paid. You got to be kidding me on this Ingram thing. There's no way that's worth it.
No, he probably meant Evan Ingram, not Mark Ingram. Do you have to play a tight end in this shit?
You can play a tight end, but you don't have to.
Oh, so yeah. Evan Ingram's also dust then.
They're all... You know who ran really good on opening packs? If you guys have to guess. Pete or Adam. So there's a couple other whales. I wonder if you guys can guess just off the bat. Like, who's someone who's
ran good in DFS? Adams.
Smiz probably, I'm sure, right?
Smiz probably did, but Cal Spears.
Oh, yeah.
Opened all the good, like literally, yeah. He bought, like, some of the packs were selling for like 10, 20, 30 grand or something like that. They're legitimately had like near that EV in the Rainmaker tier. And he opened like, 4X that or something like that in the beginning.
How many yachts can Cal water ski behind is really the question. Yeah. Can we get off this and go to the trolls thing for a second? I'm really serious about this.
Yeah, no, I want to hear this.
Okay, Andy. I'm being dead serious. I honestly do believe in blockchain technology, what you're doing, what Levy's doing. I actually do think that this is like the technology of the future. How come everybody thinks that Web3 means a fucking hairy horse, a fucking lazy lion, a silly whatever, a fucking all this shit is so fucking stupid. This is not, as I understand it, this is not Web3. This is pump and dump bullshit. Sell me a fucking cartoon of a fucking lizard and try to flip it, okay? But every time people want to talk about Web3, it's this bullshit. And now, 2 years after everybody realizes all this shit is just pump and dump bullshit, DraftKings spends time and money to develop some fucking trolls instead of improving the DFS product. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. When I got this email, I went through the fucking roof. Not only was it stupid in the first place, but now they're 2 years late on this pump and dump bullshit. If you're going to do something cool with this technology, why is it always I'm going to make a fucking PFP project of some fucking animal that nobody gives a flying fuck about? I mean, it is the stupidest fucking shit in the history of the world. Please, Andy, tell me this is not actually Web3, because this is what is constantly dumped on me in email, on my timeline. If I see one more fucking hairy horse, I'm going to fucking lose it.
I think there is like an idea in, like, I think there's like this idea of like what's fun and cool, like in the world of PFP collections, that is like you can find people who have similar interests, like some of them are collectibles. I think this kind of stuff is not very exciting to me personally. It's not what I'm excited about in crypto. And Web3 stuff. Yeah, I think that we're pretty quickly seeing a lot of the real people in the space move away from these like projects. And not to say that like if you have a PFP project or something, it is like innately bad. I think there's more elegant ways to like build community and do token distributions and stuff.
Would it change your mind if you knew that the number one rarity troll actually is wearing a Rainmaker's hoodie?
It does change my mind.
I actually get like what the profile picture era was supposed to be. It's like if I click on someone's profile, they have a Ravens jersey header, it's in their bio, like it kind of gives you a look into what they're doing, and then that was going to be phase one. I don't know why. Like there could be something that represents that you're a degenerate, that you play on DraftKings, that you like risk-based games, that you like crypto, right? That's what I think profile pictures at the top level were supposed to represent. I have no fucking clue what I'm looking at on my screen, though.
Well, I feel like, you know, I always want to provide a platform for both sides. I think there's good people on both sides of the trolls conversation. And my guy Pump here from the Deposit Kingdom Discord, this guy was literally fucking doing cartwheels with the trolls reveal today. So Pump, I know it's probably hard to hear Adam going off on your new favorite PFP project, but would you care to give the pro troll side of the argument here?
I was pissing my pants when he was going on his rant about the trolls. Okay. So to give a little background, we have a little bit that we do about the whole Rainmaker stuff. And the trolls came out and we're like, I said, okay, these could be worth something. So we said, okay, we'll try to buy a few. Here's my thing. DraftKings is probably the most popular retail sports book, right? And fantasy site, if you include DFS. There are only 1,500 trolls.
We're so early.
There's 10,000 apes, you guys. Those are what? Almost six figures. There's only 1,500 trolls. Why would you not spend $75? And I know most of you, at least three of you, piss on $75 to buy this thing that could be worth 100x. So we bought it.
Why would someone pay 100x for a picture of a troll?
Oh, no. My camera says it got unplugged. Okay.
Wait, I want to know who the three that are pissing on $75.
Yeah, I mean,
that was really, okay. That was
five of you, which is,
wow. No, you can say four, Pump. It's fine. I'm not pissing four. On
three is
five.
Man. I'm five.
Sweating out fucking min cashes in the spy every week.
Or maybe it's a shot at Andy that his net worth is down because of crypto.
I mean, it's definitely not
a shot at all of us. We're all business. I mean, it's a straight down. I mean, we had the actual elevator up, but then we've had, I mean, there's been no escalator. It's just been up and down the elevator.
I mean, I could exclude Jennings from the three, just, you know, but anyway, the trolls.
Yeah.
Here's my pitch for you, Levy. They are going to have exclusive DFS contests. If you own a troll,
that's
you have to have one to participate. And think of these dolts that are buying the trolls. You could crush them for guaranteed prizes.
That's honestly the best point.
That's a good point.
That's a good argument.
Yeah, the people who are buying these trolls are not the people who are also winning very large stakes DFS tournaments.
That's what I'm saying.
And so imagine if you could always play in the starter tournaments. No matter what. That's kind of bullish, actually.
The thing is Pump, but we have to acknowledge this is quite the cell phone because the people buying these trolls are predominantly in my Discord.
They are. Now, okay, first of all, I want to tell you guys, let me share my screen here. Because
you've been sitting on one for reveal on stream.
I've been sitting on it.
I mean, it's been what 7 days since you guys were buying. What were you buying last week that you're obsessed with?
Oh, I can't even remember.
No, not you guys. Andy and
was art gobblers.
Yeah,
art
Dick Gobbler. Yeah.
There's 10,000 art gobblers, which have been a straight line down, And then you have these, which have been a straight line up. These were $75. Let me tell you right now what an unrevealed pack would cost you. $246. That's a
holy shit.
That's a what? Almost a 4x, 2.5x. So I mean,
do you have perfectly $420.69 in your account right now?
I did. I told my wife I was going on CTS, so I had to prep. I withdrew a little balance to get down the number
for a meme balance. I appreciate
for the bit. This
the content play, 100%. I respect that.
The king of bits.
See, Pump, have we learned nothing from this whole I opened it, it's worth 4x, we can
right,
flip it,
sell it. Yeah.
Have we learned nothing? Find the fucking sell button. Find the sell. That's the one thing I learned over the last 2 years. Find the fucking sell button.
Adam, you are on a show hosted by the king of bits, and we are doing a bit right now. That's why we're doing this.
Never acknowledge.
What do you think the top troll will be worth? Like if 250 is the current floor price.
Oh,
I think you get Kalish's.
You mean the
shares,
Blood Moon
the
one?
20k.
Like, 20k.
Okay.
20k
no.
crowns. Yeah.
Oh, you do get a crown boost if you own a troll, by the way. So for my crown folks out there, you do get a boost.
All right. Let's see this reveal, Pomp.
I'm going to open it. There's some sound. I don't know if I did share audio, which I should do because that's very.
Yeah, we need to make sure we get audio here.
Oh, my God.
While I do that, I do want to tell you all, we were talking about Rainmakers, right? People spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on some of those Rainmaker cards.
His name is Jonathan Bales.
but they won't buy a troll to get exclusive Rainmaker contests, exclusive DFS contests that you can only participate in for free. It's free. You do not have to pay to play in them. If you have a troll.
Did Kayla send you as a plant? Are you a paid actor?
I actually started in their DraftKings Discord for the marketplace. I tagged Kalish and 100 people tagged him after me. And he actually came in and said, oh, I got this troll. And it's like some gold picked out troll.
Are trolls following trolls on Twitter? Is that happening, Pump?
I mean, they might be, but there's only 1,500 of them. So you won't get that much engagement.
Yeah, for 250 bucks, Pete. I mean, if you could pick up 500 followers, it's probably worth it.
Okay,
there's actual objective financial value in these, though. That's the again, to the original point that Levitin made, Kalish and DraftKings want this to succeed. And if you can get into contests where there's real money prizes, then like there's actual real
value. All right, that's the plant from Kalish right there.
No, okay. It's serious. You
can shit on all you want. Like the cards have a quantifiable value. Like,
and trolls too.
And clearly the trolls do. They're selling for $250. I mean, these
you have SBF. He just lost his company. SBF just lost his company. And you have Kalish, who has DraftKings, and we're going like this.
The scales of justice.
So, and the pack reveal experience, I'm just going to tell you, like, it puts Top Shot, like, to shame. It puts, every other pack you've ever opened.
Jennings, do you own a troll? Jennings, because you're talking about how this is basically the future of Web3. Do your bags actually back that up?
I did not say it's the future of Web3.
I'll say it.
And clearly, like, yeah, like, there's, like, anything in the Rainmakers game, there's cash behind it. So there's some value. I don't know how much it's actually worth. Apparently, the market's
at $250. So I'm going to be honest. The DraftKings marketplace is very confusing. I'm trying to front run
this
now.
Pack opening, Andy?
Which partner is confusing here? Look at that.
The options to purchase are Rainmakers NFL cards, Sup Ducks, something just labeled Steve Aoki. It's just a picture of Steve Aoki. Like, why the fuck is that on the same marketplace as the Rainmakers NFLPA? I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Sometimes you don't want this super Gronk.
Hey, super Gronk collection. I haven't heard of the 2022 Running Mates collection. That looks like, you guys want to buy some?
Yeah, like just the variety of content on this marketplace. It doesn't feel like it's
Sly Crocs. What if you miss clicking on trolls and you click Sly Crocs?
The Andy, Sly are you Crocs speaking right now? Are very valuable.
All right, Pub. Let's get back on track. Let's get back to the future.
Here we go. Oh, I've been navigating this thing all day, working the market.
And this is so you have already taken advantage have a troll. Of the PFP. Yeah, you've revealed one, right?
I bought three of them. I got one as my PFP, and then these are my packs here. So we're going to open this guy.
All right.
Okay, now keep in mind, you have to open the packs. There aren't very many sealed packs left. So if you want a chance at the rarest one, you should go buy one. Oh no!
Don't
sell.
Whoa!
Oh my God!
Did they rip
over Zach? You gotta make a video about this. Come on.
Okay, honestly, this is very bullish.
This is great. Slaps. That's great.
Rock hard over there. I can tell.
Tell me that didn't get your heart pumping.
That was good.
Instead of the fucking resources they put into that stupid fucking bullshit, how about you don't leave Travis Etienne at 6,300 against the fucking Raiders? How about you don't put DeAndre Carter at 4,300 without Keenan Allen and Mike Williams? Maybe you make him 3,800 and make the game better instead of this stupid fucking trolls bullshit. Sorry.
Okay. Somebody.
That was good, though. Admit that was good.
That was good. That was like DFK Gardens good. That was when you walk in and put your seeds in. That's how good it was. Now, I do want to make a comment about what you said, Levtan. Somebody said, how profitable has Rainmakers been? I think it's probably one of the most profitable things on DraftKings books. Because the amount of money they took in from the pack sales and the rake on the card marketplace is insane compared to the prizes that they give out. Whereas in DFS, they take 8%, 9%, 14%.
20%.
20%, depending what contest you play. They make way less on DFS, which we know they're not trying to get away from, but they care more about sportsbook. Mm-hmm. But Rainmakers is just literally pure profit.
It's because Levy's taken all of the money out of the ecosystem. People send him head-to-heads just to see what his head-to-head lineup is, and then he's taking it off the table. I mean, this is why they're having to do the troll stuff out of. You're stealing all their liquidity.
It's true. Well, and he himself is missing out on some EV with Establish a Run not doing Rainmakers content. And I'm a subscriber, and I wish that they did.
Well, we appreciate you, Pump. I
just open it.
Just open
before
it.
Before Levitan blows it. Before he blows. Oh, my God.
Look at the guy.
That's got to be worse than
that. Holy cow. That.
Oh.
The crown necklace?
The crowns, which I will get a crown bonus for, you should look this one up. 413.
Do we know who did the art for these?
I think it was Beeple, but I'm not 100% sure. There are rumors that it was him or Xcopy, but they haven't. I think they're worried about saying because they don't want to drive the floor pipes up too fast. Oh, not a very rare one, guys.
But, that's okay. All right. It's sometimes those entry-level ones are actually the ones that are most sought after, Pump, and I think you'll probably have a lot more liquidity down there with a floor.
That's true.
Yeah, it's going to be super liquid.
I would say these will unseat. I don't want to fire any shots, but the Nysa D-Gen better look out for the trolls. Just saying.
let's not pit these projects against each other, Pump. How many are in this pack? Was it just one?
Yeah, it's just a one-man opening.
Okay,
one. That's a good one.
For some reason, pack, normally there's multiple things in a pack. A single is normally a reveal. I guess the terminology threw me off a little bit there.
Yeah, now here's, this is my closing comment, is for those of you that have Mr. Kalish's number, A, tell him I love him, I appreciate him. Number two, can the man allow us to do private transfers? Because I'd love to send this to the honeybee so he could have a troll of his own. But I can't. I can only list it. I cannot transfer it to
Levy. How much would you have to get paid to change your ETR avatar on DraftKings to this troll 413 on screen right now?
I'm being dead serious. I think I would do it for like 25K. Yeah. Much
protecting the brand, protecting. I think we're.
I almost, there's lots of important causes out there in the world, but a GoFundMe for 25K to make this happen might just honestly be worth it.
Could be worth it. Yep.
I thought you were going to say my Twitter thing, and that was
no.
Well, Pump, I appreciate that. I know it must have been hard for you being in the hopper listening to Levy go off on the trolls while you're sitting here on a massive bag. So I appreciate you being patient there.
No problem.
Jack, we haven't heard a lot from you tonight. What is your, kind of take on this landscape here?
I'm a long-term investor, not a trader. I will say that I have been in assets that I thought had a long-term outlook. I really don't think I hold anything that does not have a long-term outlook, Besides, there was like a week where I was in Discord with your peoples and I was buying hairy horses and all that shit. But that was a phase. Mm-hmm. That was a phase. Yeah, I think crypto is fucked in the short term. But I also like, I don't know, I checked my Robinhood today. That shit ain't doing too hot. So I think generally the public is in a really bad spot. And as Jennings kind of said at the top, like, it doesn't seem like it's making a turnaround anytime soon. So I don't sell and try and time it. But I think, you know, getting cash right now is obviously holding cash could be a good strategy, not financial advice. Building companies that are profitable and are not just chasing trends, I think is good. Yeah,
Levy, would you say cash games are the ultimate stable coin? It's the only thing in life that we can count on is just a fucking 68% return every single week.
You know, when times are tough and we're in heading towards a recession and we're heading towards generational inflation, the one thing that never ever goes down is sex jokes on the internet. And that's the best advice that I can really give people. So, yeah.
Are people fucking right now?
Oh, I'm sure. Dude, I don't even want to do the sex bit anymore. I honestly don't. I'm like tired of doing the sex bit. I can't stop. These people, it's constant. Everybody just wants more sex jokes and more sex jokes and more sex jokes. It's like they just eat it up. I mean, a lot of the bits that I've done have you know run their course or whatever, but this one is just like never die. The people are obsessed. So
did you or did you not tweet that this was the week that all the best plays were not going to be the best plays?
Yeah. So I mean, like. I did. And honestly, like it was a good week for contrarian GPP bros. Like Eckler only had 20. Mixon was like 12%. He went completely nuke. Amon Ra was really owned. He didn't do much. So yeah, I thought it was a good week for the GPP bros to at least like get some life back, not a full blown collapse.
Yeah. Overzet, how'd you do? Tyquan Thornton back.
You know what? No, my main slate didn't go well. I shipped a showdown with 26 of my closest friends on Sunday night, so that salvaged my day. But I can tell, I mean, Leone's still broken. You listen to Leone and Levitan do the GPP recap show on Mondays, and he's still a beaten down man right now.
Yeah, he is even paler than usual. You're right.
Well, it's like we had a fucking team that had Justin Fields, Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon on it, and we made like $100. Right. It's just like
that's nuts. That is nuts.
Yeah.
How has the show your bags a bit, Levitan? How has the ETR underdog stuff played out since you've had it live now with your rankings and stuff for the last I don't know what like 6 or so weeks?
Yeah, you're talking about Battle Royale stuff.
Yeah, because I've been bugging you on Twitter like every week to get Battle Royale stuff, and yeah. I haven't done any tracking.
Oh yeah, Levitan's gonna win a milli.
Are the rankings for Battle Royale looking good or all of that?
Yeah, I actually think the Battle Royale stuff is really interesting because a lot of people just go in there with the projections for the week, right? Like here's the ETR projections for the week, and I'm just going to go into Battle Royale and play it that way. I think Peter had a ton of success understanding positional scarcity before it was kind of out there for everyone, and what Herzig is doing a lot behind the scenes, and Leone with the Battle Royale rankings, just trying to understand that how valuable tight end and quarterback is in those formats. So, I think our rankings are really good for Battle Royale.
So, yeah, I've really enjoyed them so far. I mean, I almost took down a tournament playing with them. I was the interception at the end zone in the was it Panthers Cardinals game a few weeks ago. If that was a McCaffrey touchdown, I would have taken down that Battle Royale.
Would you say you were only a 2v2 away from a million?
Something like that.
Yeah. I did want to dunk on you, Levitan, here only in 401st place with only 1,257 points. Some of us sitting here in 396 with 1,257.32 points. So
is it a dunk? I feel like, Pete, I feel like you lose like 90% of your bid equity if you win the regular season. Like your whole thing is playoff and week 17 correlation. So I feel like this would actually be a bad look. I don't
now
know.
Now that I'm on the leaderboard,
what'd
I'm
you do? You pick the best players? I don't know if that really fits what you do.
It is. I know. It's not exactly where I want to be. I want to peak around week 17. I think I am peaking too early here now. But yeah. Adam, I actually, though, you said that this team that you drafted, this was part of your multi-table sesh?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I did two multi-table sessions. I did 10 at one time the night before as a practice, and then I did 10 live on stream. It was one of those. It was during one of those. So like the teams that I have, like my advance rate is ridiculous on those because I was just like picking the best plays. I have like no correlation. I have like 3 tight ends on Kelce teams. Like it's just a mess because I was just mashing buttons. But I do think I have good players, but I think I'm still pretty dead to win it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can we do an informal Laden thinks? We don't actually have to play. What percent of those top 10% teams in
the upper quartile of the upper percentile quartile? Is that how
yes. What percentile or how many of those teams will still be in the top 10% if Josh Allen misses 4 games?
A lot. My team is Tua. The quarterbacks on that team are Tua and Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Tua is the big one right now.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen, it was at least for multiple weeks, the top team had Josh Allen. I assume he's littered across the top one.
That top 10%, like,
and Diggs too, I'm sure.
Diggs and Allen
take a massive hit.
I feel like it's the Kelce and Andrews teams that were like the bet, right? I mean, so many tight ends have been so bad. How could it not be the Kelce and Andrews teams? That team I have is the Kelce team.
The team I have,
I don't know. Tyler Conklin is balling for me.
Conklin? I thought Tua, when I was looking through stuff, I thought Tua was the Tyreek Waddle stacks were the highest, but maybe I know Josh Allen was the highest before. But
I guess the question is, if everyone was playing that Cincy Bills week 17 game as the championship and Allen got hurt and none of them and Chase is out, like if none of those teams, obviously a couple will make it, but would that be a huge edge to have them, or are you better off not being on those guys? That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, Adam, you're well sourced. What's the deal with this Josh Allen stuff?
I bet Minnesota 7.5, and I asked Davidow. He didn't really know. He was just like, yeah, he thinks Allen's mostly priced in, but then today went to 5.5. So, I think a lot of that stuff, like just from talking to Davidow about it, you know, it's not that people think Vegas has inside information on Josh Allen's injury. It's not that. They're just following the market, right? And like, there's obviously people out there who are in tune or maybe have some information, or maybe they just want to get on a 7.5 early in the week or 7 and then buy it back at 5 or 6 or something like that, you know? And so I don't know. I don't think that the market tells you all that much about his status. From what I could tell, it's like anywhere from playing this week to out 2 to 4 weeks. I don't think it's gonna be anything beyond that.
Am I crazy if I think he's going to be done for the season?
Yes,
that would be
like crazy. Is that in the range of outcomes in your head? Like, because I genuinely think, like, when you start talking elbow and shit around the elbow,
did you see the throw that he made right after the injury? It was like a 60, it was like a 69.420.
That shit happens,
though. That was like the longest pass thrown in the NFL in the last 6 years,
but that's not a good thing. I don't take that as a good thing. Like, we've seen players, you know.
If they weren't in the spot that they're at, like trying to get the one seed to get the bye, I don't think he would play as early as he's going to. Like, I think he could play this week or be out 2 to 3.
If they were, you know, let's say they were 5-4 and they weren't the perceived Super Bowl favorites, like, do you think he's playing the rest of the season?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Like, I think there might be serious risk to his long-term future. But I also have no clue. So we'll see.
What about
Nick Leone? He found this. Bet some Dolphins to win the division plus 500 today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice bet.
What about the Jets? Jets have tiebreaker over both of them right now.
Yeah.
Dolphins, what is this Jets bet with you, Jack? I don't get this. What's the
Jets? What Jets bet?
You said earlier today you sent a picture of you with a Jets jersey or something for the director of fraud.
No, I have like the Jets defense is fantastic, but Wilson's awful. And so, you know, everyone was making fun of Brady Quinn on New York football Twitter for saying they weren't going to be good. And I essentially was like, he's not wrong. Like, their season is over. And then all the Jets fans got into it with me. And so I posted this that the Jets are fraudulent. But you're not winning a Super Bowl with Zach Wilson was essentially my point, this year at least.
Definitely not.
Adam, what about JT? JT going to get shut down?
Even if he doesn't, I mean, It's really bad. By the way, we did a, you know, we're trying to like, I don't even know what we're doing. We have a whole digital media team, but they're on like TikTok and shit like that. And so before the season, we did a bunch of videos like, don't take Jonathan Taylor number one, like Christian McCaffrey's better than Jonathan Taylor, et cetera, et cetera. And there was like 500 comments from August, all being like, this guy's a fucking idiot. So we had one of our guys, actually one of the guys volunteered on our team. He went through every single comment on the video and like clapped back at it. And now the video was like recirculating. I mean, shit is popping off on the People's Republic of China site right now.
Dude, TikTok, what? Because I had a video that I did for Fantasy Life on there where I had like CMC was the 101. And basically every comment was, never in a million years would I take CMC over Derrick Henry. Like that TikTok was big on the Derrick Henry.
Well, they were right on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get
they
think
that.
No, CMC, dude, he's going to have a fast finish.
He's going absolutely nuclear, man. But honestly, man, all this stuff with the hairy horses and the trolls and all that, just it brings me back to what I said. I think last time I was here, I have all my eggs in one basket and I watch it very fucking closely. I don't know shit about anything else. I have all my eggs in one basket and I watch it closely. People are sending me fucking trolls, investment ideas, bullshit. No, no, no. From now on, I am taking my money and I am putting it in what I know, i.e. fantasy football and sex jokes on the internet. Okay, that's it. There is no more. Nobody send me any more fucking ideas for quote unquote investments. Peter, pay attention. Nobody send me any more ideas on fucking investments. Okay, we're all in on fucking fantasy football. That's it.
But Poodle? Adam, what about Poodle?
No, see, Poodle, don't get me fucking started on Poodle. I wish fucking Bales was here. I'm going to tell the story one more time. I told it on Three Donkeys. I'll tell it one more time. Bales says, oh, we're getting in Poodle. I was like, oh, baby, Bales has got something here. Again, Poodle. I tell some of my friends in Philly, I'm like, yo, we're getting this thing Poodle. It's going to be the next Dogecoin. Bales said, I don't know fucking shit, but Bales, he said, we're going to get we're in early on the next
Adam
Dogecoin.
Adam legit setting up the Ponzi right after he buys his Poodle. Hey, everybody, we're getting
yeah.
Poodle.
So I tell some of my boys in Philly, these guys don't have a lot of money. I tell them, okay, everybody buys some Poodle, okay, 2x, 2.5x, 3x, 4x, 4.5x. I was like, baby, I was like, Bales, maybe we should start hitting the sell button here. I was like, no. I'll let you know before I sell. So I'm in the Poodle Telegram, and people
saddest
are like,
saddest thing I've ever heard in my
and
life.
And people are like, oh shit, Mark Wahlberg is dumping again. And they keep calling this guy. He's like, oh shit, Mark Wahlberg is dumping. I'm like, hold on. This can't be. It can't be. And then I find out that Mark Wahlberg, who they're referring to in the Telegram, is actually Bales. He was dumping down our throat. I was lucky to escape from Poodle with like a 50% loss. Okay. So look, man, nobody send me fucking investment ideas. Nobody send me, I don't want to hear about your fucking hedge fund or any of this other bullshit. Okay. We take money, we gamble with it, and we make more money that way. That's it. Period. Okay. And I'm telling this to myself, honestly. Somebody roll it next time I think about a hairy horse or a fucking troll, somebody send me this clip. Okay. Because I want to be reminded myself during the next bull run. Remind me in the next bull run. I mean, I bought fucking skulls of dinosaurs. I mean, what the fuck was I doing? I don't know shit about any of this stuff.
Well, what I hate to remind you, you said you have a basket and you're just going to stare at things in that basket. Part of that basket is now a Mark Ingram elite. Yeah. So you are going to have to keep a close eye on that one.
That was that, by the way, those floor prices add up to $57 if you sold them all at floor.
All right. There you go.
Check it.
They're going to start calling you Adam Wahlberg on the Rainmakers message boards, Adam.
Honestly though, I actually don't have any regrets on Poodle because it was so fucking funny. Like me and my boys from Philly, we would like laugh about it. We would go on the Telegram and fuck with people. We would talk about Mark Wahlberg. Like it was actually legit. I'm hoodling my Poodle.
The Poodle, the Poodle.
Was that actually a thing? I was gonna say hoodling is a great name there. My God. Well, Adam, I'm glad you were able to swing by tonight. You know, a lot going on in the crypto markets, but it's nice to know that you still believe in the trolls and you still believe in kind of the power of Web3. I think that's a lot of wind in our sails.
I do. Don't put a clip out there that makes me look like some idiot boomer that doesn't believe in Web3. I believe in Web3. I do not believe that Web3 is fucking profile pictures. No more fucking profile pictures. That's all I'm trying to say.
Hey, Clay, we're going to need a clip of Adam calling Weath W. Eath tonight. I think
yes, that was great. That was great.
Pete, you seem frustrated with us tonight.
I'm not frustrated. I just think Adam's so funny, man. I mean, I believe me, I made so many mistakes, but Adam, like, I was actually thinking, Adam is the absolute sell signal. Whatever Adam doesn't buy, when we're like, we send him all this stuff, he could have gotten rich off KuCoin. He could have gotten rich off Luna.
You have to have a sell button. You have to have a sell button to get rich.
He got Fanish. There's a couple things that you got in on, but like, there's been some lottery tickets that have hit. When does Adam want to get in? Adam wants to get in after the big boom up. That's when Adam is ready to. By the way, I am the king of also doubling, tripling, quadrupling down after it's already gone straight up. And then, yeah, oh yeah, I can't sell my Top Shot stuff because I don't want to be a fucking, you know, pump and dump guy. I want to be a pump and dump guy. What do we learn? Follow Bales. Yeah. Bales pumps and dumps on his friend's ass big time.
Listen, you say I don't get in. I was one of the first people in on Top Shot. I was playing basketball with Bales in fucking January.
You bought the John Morant together.
I was one of the first ones in. Guess how much fucking money? We didn't hit the sell button once. Not once on Top Shot. We didn't hit the sell button.
Trust me. I know.
Not once. Oh, Jeremy says. Oh, Jeremy. Oh, we got an offer for $1 million, but it's not enough.
Also, we followed Jeremy into any investment. Yeah, by the way. Mr. I don't want to see any investments. Who's the one guy who turned down? Never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
Have you been following Jeremy's Instagram? It seems like his life has gotten really rough of late.
I'm not on Instagram, obviously, but
it seems really rough. I don't know how he's doing it.
Here's the deal. At the end of the day, we bet on Adam. That's what we need to do. Bet on the sex jokes. Bet on Adam. And yeah. Whenever Adam is interested in investing in some of this bullshit.
Sell.
That's when we sell.
Exactly. That is the best. That's the best lesson learned, right? Of course, that's a lesson learned. And honestly, like a lot
you actually did well in the punk, right? Hey, we got one win there.
Yeah.
We actually sold something.
Did I turn the Ethereum from the punk into USD?
We turned it into another shittier punk.
We turned it into Ethereum, which is dusted, and we turned it into another shitty punk, which is
we
dusted.
Got way more ETH out of that than our next punk, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying ETH also is down like 70% since then.
Have you checked the prices today?
No. Well, yes.
What about the friends Zoom and videos out. We made along the way?
I made tons of mistakes, and I'm too optimistic in general. And the writing was on the wall across the board last year. But it was hard. I mean, I think the really challenging part. I remember in November listening to the All In podcast, and they're like, all the sharpest capital allocators are selling. I actually started selling stuff, but I didn't know where to put it. I was like, oh yeah, I'll just put it in the safe stuff. I'll put it in like VTI, the stock index, or like, you know, it's hard. There's no return on bonds. Inflation was inevitable. It was hard to allocate capital. And that's the part where you really beat yourself up. But like, remember the narrative during the bull market was cash was trash. So it was like, where do you possibly find places to put the money?
Yeah.
I guess sex jokes on the internet was the only good place to put it.
No, I mean, I've honestly like spent my life, and I know you have too, Peter, like turning money into more money by gambling, you know? And like, why can't that just be it? Why do I have to bet on somebody else? Why do I have to give somebody else money who I don't know anything about?
Scaling it. You can't, how are you going to bet more on all the plus EV stuff?
I know it's hard, but
where
still
do you put it?
I know, but like I actually like
it feels like couples therapy. It does. It's amazing, but I just wanted to say.
Yeah, it's just massive.
No, don't do this. God, I'm a donkey.
No, it's going to be fine. From now on, we're just going to keep doing what we know how to do, gamble on sports. Giving other people money and like trying to tail them. Like, I want to tail Bales. I want to tail Andy. I want to tail all these people. But I don't actually know anything about it. I don't know when to sell. I don't know when to buy. Like, tailing does not work for me, period. So,
all right. Can you give us a winner for Thursday Night Football then?
I can give you a winning prop. You can get probably $49 on it.
All right, go ahead.
All right, let's hear it.
Not yet.
Walk off prop.
Not yet. What?
All right.
Oh,
hold
you got to get all your action down?
Yes.
No.
I mean,
you're trying to dump a line on us. You're
dumping a line. I'm doubling my net worth at this point. So,
speaking of donkeys, where is the Three Donkeys podcast?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to it?
That was a pump and dump too by Bales.
Pump and dump.
No, it's my it's my fault. I've just it's just
come on
at the bottom of the apartos. It's like, should I spend time with my kids or should I fuck around with Peter and Bales tonight? And it just falls by the wayside is the bottom line.
Don't take the blame. It's
wow, Adam takes
I've been golfing too much. I mean, we've been playing too much pickleball. Pickleball disrupted the three donkeys. I mean,
if pickleball is the reason why we don't have the three donkeys, I hate that sport even more than I did before this show started.
Hey, at least you're calling it a sport.
I swear.
Did you see I'm going to have to play? If Jamar Chase is back here in 2.5 weeks, I'm going to have to play pickleball.
Pete, you'd actually be good at it too. It suits your skill set.
Why do you say actually?
You're a good athlete.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, but like you, it's like anyone who's a decent athlete can pick up pickleball quickly.
Yeah. There's some racquetball. There's some racket skills involved, I think. But yeah, it's not, obviously there's 80-year-old women playing. It's like, it's not hard to pick up.
Jack has like scaling a snapback vertical around pickleball right now.
Dude, that's sharp. Honestly, I said that on the solo pod. Somebody asked me about like making money. I was like, honestly, man, like if I didn't have ETR, I would start a pickleball club in my neighborhood, like 100%.
If you're looking for a new job, become a pickleball trainer. Like, holy fuck, you charge $100 an hour to 15 people. Like, it's nuts. Those guys are, it's crazy.
Yeah. So the problem, what Peter said is like, yeah, would I invest in someone that was starting a pickleball club in my neighborhood? Like, in theory, yes. But I think what I've learned is like, I don't trust anyone to like do it. I trust no one anymore. Like, I've lost all trust in everyone when I give them money. That's just the bottom line.
The guy Adam would end up investing in would get, you know, embroiled in some scandal of like hitting on the local moms in the neighborhood or something.
Or he wouldn't work hard enough or something. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be out fucking playing pickleball all day, not fucking grinding his cock. Like, I'm sitting here grinding my cock all day. If I give someone money, I want them fucking grinding their cock all day. You know, is that too much to ask?
No, it's very reasonable.
Yeah.
That's another metric. That needs to be the key investment metric going forward. Is the operator grinding their cock?
Right.
If it's not yes, it's a pass.
Exactly.
Well, that's here's a question. Advice. Was SBF grinding his cock off?
Once you get $1 billion, I don't think you grind your cock anymore.
I think SBF is grinding.
I'm sure he did, but I mean.
He ground too far.
Andy, obviously you guys probably already talked about this, and Andy knows, it just seems like he got owned by CZ, who I'm sure is grinding his cock super hard too. So,
oh yeah, I mean, CZ's cock's got to be a nub at this point. It's been grounded bits.
But it's big for the play he made. All right, do we get the prop or what?
We're doing a walk-off prop here. We appreciate Levitan.
All right, let me see. Let me look at the board here. Hold on.
I thought you had a gold star lock of the week for us. Already?
No, I was just saying I can't.
Tuesday night.
The troll community will recommend CPAT over 51.5 rushing yards on DraftKings.com.
Oh, I'm not actually showing a single under for Thursday's game, and that's kind of what's happened to the props market here.
That killed your never overs brand too, by the way, that shift in the prop market.
Yeah, and we've taken a ton of overs, and we're starting to do well, or reasonably at least. All right, you know what? Alpha play.
$49 at a time.
Alpha play. Alpha play. Alpha right, play. The king of the air yards. The king of the air yards.
Ooh.
Oh, baby. The Kyle Pitts over.
Kyle Pitts over 39.5 yards. Looks like there's some minus 119s out there.
There's a minus 110 on DK. I know you want to find the best odds. I'm sorry.
I'm not giving the trolls any action.
All right, everyone gets an ETR sub. If that doesn't hit, we'll see you guys next week.